been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's the Friday morning edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour on this September 4th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've been through a war or two in the market, and yesterday was not a pretty day in the market. We'll try to make some sense of it here today. Right now, Dow futures have been helped along by the jobs report that came out this morning. That monthly non-farm payroll report, and Dow futures right now up 149 after an 850-point sell-off yesterday in the Dow. Meanwhile, over at the S&P 500, S&P 500 futures up about 7 points right now. 3,468 is where the S&P sits as we begin a new day. Not so good at the NASDAQ, however. NASDAQ futures down about 87 points right now. 87 points after a thrashing, an absolute thrashing yesterday. Should we be worried here? The NASDAQ was down over 5% yesterday. That's the worst day since March of this year. And you all know what was going on in March of this year. Russell 2000 futures, a little bit of a bright spot there, up 19 points today, 1568 in the small cap market arena. We've got gold. Gold, oil, where are they going? There they are, crude oil, down 4 cents, no big deal there. Gold down 350, very little movement there. And there was a little rally in the bond market here yesterday with interest rates coming down to, all the way down to 0.66. They're back up a little today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, with 23 years of battle scars. I've seen the best of times. I've seen the worst of times. I saw people lose 80% of their retirement back in the year 2000, between 2000, 2001, 2002. Many of you were there, were either victims of that. I was managing money through that. So vigilance is always necessary in the market. Okay, what happened yesterday? Software stocks, big sell-off. Look, I would say this. There's a lot of darlings of the NASDAQ right now, and a lot of them, the Zoom technologies, the Teslas of the world, even Apple you can throw into that boat. And, you know, you get into this mindset that things only go up. In fact, I saw some guy on Fox Business the other day that had a sign behind him that said stocks only go up. And I looked at the guy. He doesn't look as old as me. He looks quite a bit younger than me. And he had gold chains and a flowered shirt and was flashy and all. But I know for a fact that stocks don't always go up. There are times when you reach valuation bubbles. There's times when individual stocks get too expensive beyond any reasonable valuation. I mean, anybody that has any brains knows that some of these stocks are not worth what they're trading at today. But that's a small amount of the stocks out there. I call them the momentum darlings right now, the crowd strikes, the Smartsheets, the MongoDBs, the Zoom technologies, etc., that have just gone up to astronomical heights. What are those valuation measurements? DocuSign, another one. What are those valuation measurements that I look at? One, P.E. ratio, price to earnings. How much do we pay for those earnings in the window? Number two, price to sales. How much are we paying for those sales? How many years will it take for us to get our investment back if we invest at this price-to-sales level. Number three, price-to-book value, which isn't really watched that much anymore. It does play a big role in financials, banks, etc. But you get into a CrowdStrike or a Zoom technology, not much attention is paid to price-to-book value, but it should. There should be some attention paid to it. Price-to-cash flow is another one. PEG ratio is a big one. I remember PEG ratios back in 2000 between 5 to 10. Stocks were trading at 5 to 10 times their future earnings growth. That means it would take you years and years if you bought the whole enterprise to even break even. So you always got to watch. You know, that's why valuation is one half of my equation. Valuation is one half of my equation. Momentum is the other half. There's plenty of momentum going around these days, but valuation is getting a little scarcer. Dow tumbles 800 yesterday. NASDAQ was down 5% yesterday, 5%. As a little air came out of the overinflated tires. We'll see where we go from here. We're down again today, like I say, on the NASDAQ. We may this may present great buying opportunities going forward. We take it a day at a time. We take it a stock at a time. The market is not about one big, giant decision. Sell everything. We have clients that do that, and they're invariably the worst clients. They have the worst performance. They come to us because they've made so many mistakes over the years giving in to their emotions. The market is made up of a lot of little decisions on each individual position that you own. That's why I spend so much time every day meticulously going through, combing through every single holding that I have. All right, tech selling yesterday. We saw the information technology sector, big loser yesterday. The semiconductor sector sold off big time yesterday. There were a couple of forces at work yesterday. One, Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, you know, we've heard a lot about the vaccine. I don't think they should hurry the vaccine. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be worried about getting the vaccine anyways when it does come out. But to race to get the vaccine before Election Day doesn't seem very good to me, unless it's effective and it works. I know they've already done the safety profile test on the vaccine. Now we're testing whether or not it works or not. But Fauci expressed doubt that we would have a vaccine even by the end of this year. He's thinking more like early next year. Okay, that did not help the market. And, you know, when the market gets a little bit of fear running through it, where do you think? What do you think the most vulnerable areas are? The highfalutin, high PE stocks, the biotechs, the cloud, stay-at-home, work-from-home stocks that have been run up to very, very high multiples. Now, you can't say that across the board about the entire market. But I've watched many individual stocks that have taken my breath away looking at the valuations that they are trading at here in today's market. They called it a case of sell your darlings, the best love momentum, tech, and mega caps. The problem is, even when the darlings go down, it sometimes will take along with it some of the stocks that shouldn't be painted with that same brush. That's why the market should be made up a lot of, managing in the market should be made up of a lot of little decisions, not one big, massive decision. Apple, big sell-off yesterday. You know what? Apple's valuation reminisces of the year 2000 when people were buying stock splits. Okay, we saw that earlier this week. Oh, Apple split, Tesla split. We got to buy them. They're much cheaper now. That does not, the price of the stock does not define the value of the stock. The value is the underlying ratios, the PEs, the forward PEs, the price to sales, etc. When a stock splits, those things remain the same. unless people start buying into that stock split, and then those ratios go up again. So there's a little bit of insanity in the market right now that I'm seeing that reminds me of the year 2000. So just suffice it to say that I'm going to be vigilant on duty, as I always have been for the last 23 years, watching out for hardworking folks that have money and have made some big, big gains since March, extraordinary gains since March. They want vigilance right now. They don't want to give up those gains. And at the same time, there will be opportunities arise during this little bit of a sell-off that we are going through. A lot of individual stocks to talk about today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. That's the name of that song. A lot of people have questions. What the heck went on here on Thursday? Well, I wrote down some of my observations yesterday on my daily trip through the muck, through the currents, through the riptides, through the wind, through the hail of the market. The biotechs, extremely weak yesterday, extremely weak. Of course they're going to be whenever there's a little bit of a fright that goes through the market. The biotechs are going to be one of the first to go. 98% of the biotechs, they have no earnings. They have no product. And I have always said that, you know, there have been hundreds of small biotechs that have taken advantage of the risk on flavor of the market here this year. And I would say that 98% of those biotechs, let's just call it 90%, 2-3 years down the road, they won't even be around because they'll burn through their money and they will not end up having a product. When I buy a biotech myself, it has to have something very, very, very promising and a high probability of a blockbuster product, okay? So the biotech sector really took it on the chin yesterday. No surprise there. Is it a buying opportunity in the biotechs? You know what? It depends on the stock. I would say maybe 1 or 2% of all the biotechs out there are actually viable companies with viable products. The solar stocks, which have been trading in rarefied air, red hot, they took a little pause and breather yesterday. There are still some solar stocks that I like a lot. I still own one or two. But for the most part, it's not a sector that I'm very enamored with. But they did take it on the chin because they've been red hot recently. Some of the high-flying chip stocks took it on the chin yesterday. There is news out of China to try to mitigate the fallout from Huawei and losing a lot of relationships of people not willing to do business with Huawei. There is talk out. China, it's not a rumor. China has stated, doggone it, we're going to develop our own semiconductor industry. I'm sure they have all of our recipes to do such a thing. So that sent a bit of a chill through the NVIDIAs and the AMDs and the high flyer chip stocks of the world yesterday. Another area that has been overdone, the overstocks, the Wayfairs of the world. They traded like there was no tomorrow over the last several months. Yesterday was tomorrow. And you're going to see some more selling in that area here today. But then again, Overstock and Wayfair have never made a nickel. Never made a nickel in profits, whereas you've got a company like Amazon, which is highly profitable. So you can't paint that whole sector the consumer online sector with the same brush. That's why we call it best stocks now. Best stocks in the sector, best stocks in the market. The information technology stocks, where a lot of the work from home stocks reside, the CrowdStrikes, the Zoom technologies, I could go on and on in that work from home sector, Peloton, etc. That was under pressure yesterday. Even the vaccine stocks took a heavy hit yesterday, including AstraZeneca, on Dr. Fauci's comments. All right, but I like AstraZeneca with or without the vaccine. And if you are in the technology 3X ETFs, technology 3X, they were down 15% yesterday. The double-loaded, double-double semiconductor ETF, USD, also took it on the chin yesterday. So you had just a little bit of the rarefied air taken out of the market yesterday, and there may be a little bit more to go, all right? This is not a good time to own speculative companies without earnings unless they have a very high probability of a potent money-making product around the corner, all right? Now, the futures are up a little bit today on the Dow. I just want to take a look at Apple here, which is going to be a highly... Apple has just gone positive by 0.3%. Let's also take a look at Tesla here today. So we're seeing a little bit of stabilization here today. Tesla's up 1% today in the early morning futures. Let's check on Google. Guess what? They're closing in on an antitrust move against Google. Google is down 0.7% today. The Justice Department saying they're closing in on Google. And I think the Justice Department would not move against Google unless they thought they had a case that they could win. So that's putting a little bit of a crimp in Google. Okay, here's what the street says happened yesterday. I would agree with most of this. Number one, profit taking. I haven't seen a run in the market like the one we've had from March to earlier this week. Last time I saw a run like this in the market was 1999. Where were you in 1999? We had one unbelievable quarter after another, about two or three strung together. And then in March, April of 2000, NASDAQ 5000, it went down 80%. Okay, which brings up the second point. The second reason the analysts are saying the market sold off yesterday, rethinking valuations. Value does matter. The biggest lesson I learned from the year 2000, valuations matter. Here's what Rob Sichon at UBS said yesterday. We've seen these tech names perform tremendously well. It looks like they've reached some unsustainable prices. That's right, unsustainable valuations. But it's the darlings. You can't paint the whole market with the same brush. Needed a breather was another excuse for yesterday's sell-off. It was time for the NASDAQ 100 to take a breather. After running up about 18% in a six-week feeding frenzy. 18% in a six-week feeding frenzy. That's not sustainable. Something's got to come off the top there. Take a little off the top. Blame the algorithms, another person said. They were rebalancing and selling. Well, you know what? This is a stock picker's market. It will remain a stock picker's market. And it will become even more of a stock picker's market going forward as I've eliminated a lot of stocks that were under my consideration because of excessive valuations. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about a lot of opportunity that's out there in the market right now. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, I'm going to kind of recap how I handled yesterday. I didn't do all that much, really. I'm just looking at my emerging growth portfolio. Okay, that's the one that's the most volatile. That's the one that has the most risk. I did sell. There's where I was the most active yesterday. I sold three holdings out of there. Now listen to this. I sold one for a 13% gain, one for a 39% gain, and one for a 38% gain. Three for three. I did not like the way those three stocks were trading. I have lines in the sand. They crossed under those lines in the sand. One of them had extreme valuation. So I took three profits there, 13%, 39%, 38%. I continue to own about 16, 17 stocks in that portfolio. In my ultra growth active portfolio, I did sell two yesterday. I sold one for a 5% gain, and I sold one for, get this, a 153% gain. You do have to have a sell strategy. You don't buy stocks and hold them forever. They do get to valuations that, wow, you know what? It's an extreme valuation. So what I do is I let the technicals take over. If the chart starts to look shaky, break. I'm not a short-term guy. I've owned this stock since August 20th, 2019. Is that a year? Over a year. During that time, it's up 153%. I took it out of my active ultra growth portfolio. I kept it in the buy and hold portfolio. Okay? The buy and hold ultra growth, I sold one stock yesterday. It broke below my line in the sand. I sold one stock out of my dividend and growth portfolio for break even. The stock is going nowhere. I just thought, well, you know what? We'll raise a little cash. We're going to try to find something better there. And in my premier growth portfolio, I made no change, no changes whatsoever. So I looked at every single stock that I own. Another thing that I think is different about this year's election than previous elections, you can look at all kinds of statistics. You know, anybody can show you a graph or comparisons, you know, of what's happened in the past to make their case for what should happen this time. I don't believe that this election that's coming up is an ordinary election. And I know the statistics show in the past that there's been very little difference between a Republican president and a Democrat president. But you know what? I think with both parties polarizing, one going further to the North Pole and one going further to the South Pole, I think this year will make a big difference in the stock market one way or another. And I have to be prepared. I'm not a passive money manager. I don't believe in a passive. When the world changes, you have to react. For instance, I would not really want to own a bank or an energy stock under a Biden administration. I would probably lean more towards the solar stocks and other things. Or would I want to own defense stock? It will change the way the market, it will change the sectors that will be beneficiaries of policies in the market. And I do think that this year will make a big difference. This is not your normal election. And I think the weeks leading up we're inside of 60 days right now. We could even have some tumultuous days after the election until we know who officially won. Brings back reminiscences of Bush versus Gore. The market was not very happy while they counted hanging chads, and the Supreme Court lights were on late at night trying to decide who won. So these are all possible outcomes or potential occurrences that could happen going forward. That's why I will remain. My lights will be on, too. I will be very, very vigilant as we approach. Okay, here's what else is going on. The market has opened. It is better than expected. The Dow is up 164. That's 0.6%. And even the NASDAQ has gone positive much, 23 points. I would expect that little rally in the NASDAQ to disappear and for the NASDAQ to go negative as the day progresses. We'll see what happens. But as you can see, I went through everything I own. I tweaked a few things here and there, but I do have a line in the sand. Jobs growth rolls on in August. August non-farm payrolls plus 1.37 million. Unemployment drops to 8.4%. Now, there was your big surprise. 9.8 was the consensus of unemployment. Unemployment drops to 8.4%. U.S. weighs ban on more Chinese apps over national security. I think the tough talk against China is going to continue, leading right up to the election. The chip stocks continue to trend lower following yesterday's tech bloodbath. Let's just check in on AMD this morning. AMD is up. Okay, good. It's up 1.24% today. I continue to like the chip stocks, and I think the sell-off could present some opportunity. Watch what I do today and in the coming days ahead. AG Barr urges antitrust filing against Google in a few weeks. Look out, Google. Sunstone to shut Hilton Times Square permanently in October. That's an iconic 44-story hotel right there in Times Square, one of the most popular hotels in the world. It's going to be shut down permanently. New York City malls can reopen on September 9th with precautions. Pfizer to have late-stage data on COVID-19 vaccine next month. Okay, that's October. And, of course, Pfizer is one of the ones that said, hey, if everything goes just right, we could have a vaccine approval, fast-track approval, by the end of October. Pfizer confirms that results from its large-scale, late-stage study of COVID-19 vaccine candidate BNT162b2, tell that to your pharmacist, will be available next month. If the results are positive, it will immediately file for emergency use authorization in the U.S. As of yesterday, 23,000 people have been enrolled in Pfizer's 30,000-subject trial. Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine prevents severe disease in preclinical studies. Okay, they're behind the others as far as the timeline goes. They're not going at warp speed like the others, but Johnson & Johnson so far getting good results. How about the energy sector? It's been poor with a Republican in office. It won't be any better with a Democrat in office. Baker Hughes announced their international rig count for August fell 391 year over year to just 747 rigs. In other words, there's a lot of rigs sitting idle right now because the demand for oil is not there. Speculation in today's market, Whiting Petroleum was up 4,000% yesterday. 4,000% as it emerges from Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Wow. There's your Robin Hood crowd chasing WLL Whiting Petroleum up 4,078% even during yesterday's down market. here's a sign of the times. General Electric declares a 1 cent dividend. Okay. If I own 100 shares, I'm going to get a dollar in the mail from General Electric. Thank you, GE. DraftKings aims to bring sports betting to Wrigley Field. Okay, you can go to Wrigley to take in a game, and they're also going to have a betting parlor there if they get approval. A day after revealing a partnership with Michael Jordan, DraftKings strengthens its Chicago ties with an announcement of a groundbreaking deal with the Chicago Cubs. They will have a first-of-its-kind sports book at the iconic Wrigley Field. Don't forget the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. This is not your grandfather's Kentucky Derby, which is normally the first Saturday in May. Instead, this is the first Saturday in September, and nobody will be at the track watching. What a Kentucky Derby. All right. The featured stock of the day when we come back. This is Bill Gunnarsson. Here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. As I predicted, the NASDAQ has gone south. You're going to see a little bit more of the fluff taken out of the I was just looking at CrowdStrike, okay? CrowdStock. It is a crowded stock, too. I just want to say, look, forward P.E. ratio, 680. Price-to-sales ratio, 27. You say, well, what's normal, Bill? You know, 1 to 3, something like that. Oh, no, there's companies that deserve much higher multiples, but I know a lot of people in this business that look for companies that are trading at a price to sales less than 1. CrowdStrike's at 27. Price to cash flow, CrowdStrike, 130. PEG ratio, 27. I like stocks that are trading at a discount to their growth rate, not 27 times their growth rate. So I'm saying there's this group of stocks out there that have these nosebleed multiples, and you're going to see more air come out of the tires of these darlings of the NASDAQ, I call them. And unfortunately, it's going to bring down some of the companies that are priced just right now. So that's why I say you have to make a decision on every. The market is made up of a lot of little decisions. If I own some of these DocuSigns and CrowdStrikes of the world and Zoom technologies, I'd be very, very nervous right now if those were the kind of stocks I own. Those aren't the kind of stocks that I own. Valuation is one half of my equation, and that eliminates some of the very, very nosebleed type darlings of the NASDAQ. It's the extreme stocks, let's call them. You hear the term, oh, they have extreme sports, they have extreme that, they have extreme this. There's a sector they should call the extreme sector of the NASDAQ. Speaking of extreme, I have an extremely good back office in Scottsdale, Phoenix, Arizona. We have been so busy over the last couple of months. And everybody says, I'm waiting for a pullback. Well, we'll see. We'll see if you're ready to step up to the plate right now and take advantage of some of these stocks that are now getting cheaper. Because the good news is when the extreme stocks sell off, they pretty much take the whole NASDAQ with it. And that creates value in the very good stocks in the NASDAQ that make sense from a valuation point of view. Now, I'm going to feature a stock here today. You can't really use your standard valuation techniques on this one because it is a fairly new company. In that case, I look for companies that have a very high probability of being very profitable someday. And I'm going to use an example here of One Life Healthcare. It didn't budge at all yesterday. One Life Healthcare is only the second publicly traded telemedicine stock out there. I featured it several times, and I'm going to feature it again on today's show. The symbol is 1M, O-N-E-M. Now, what I want you to do is go to Seeking Alpha and read Barry's excellent write-up on One Life Healthcare. Him and I collaborated on an article. He did kind of the nuts and bolts part of it. I painted the big picture, found the stock. I said, let's dig into this thing and see what we got. Does this thing have a chance to be another Teladoc? We only have two publicly traded companies right now in the market that are telemedicine. Oh, I've heard, oh, telemedicine, it was hot during COVID. It's going to die off. I don't think it is. I think once people are introduced to telemedicine, it becomes a much more attractive alternative. There was a lot of advances made in people buying online, ordering online, virtual meetings, because they had to. And that's only going to speed up the process of adoption of these new technologies like telemedicine. There is another one out there that's going to go public at some point in the near future called Amwell. It hasn't gone public yet, so right now, as far as I know, there's two major telemedicine stocks. One is Teladoc, where I made a fortune, a lot of money on Teladoc. The gains I have in Teladoc are, let's see, Teladoc right now is up, let's see here, it's up a lot. Teladoc is up 350% since I bought it. 350%. I bought it at $49 a share. It's $223. I can't say that One Life Healthcare is going to do that. I cannot say that. But I think at $29 per share and a market cap of, what, $3 billion, something like, no. 1M has a market cap right now of, $3.7 billion. I think there's some upside potential there, okay? So we'll continue to watch it. NASDAQ now down 230 points, which I predicted would happen. Also, during times like this, I stay in touch. I sent out a alert to all my subscribers and clients after the market yesterday, summing up what had happened and letting them know that I'm on it. And I sent one out this morning as I saw the futures, and I warned them of a little bit further sell-off that they're going to have to brace themselves for. And I also let them know that I am on it with my team. Call Edie. Schedule your appointment with her. This is not a time to be passive. You know where the biggest risk is? Sitting in fully invested mutual funds in the technology sector. There's my warning for the day. All right, I'll be working on the newsletter this week. We'll be looking at future earnings estimates, future earnings forecasts. I have a couple of what-ifs, depending on the election, as far as those target prices go for the S&P 500. They're mathematical equations. That's what I've been using for the last over one decade, about 13 years now, using those S&P 500 earnings to be my North Star in leading me through the market, but making lots of little decisions on a daily basis on every single player that I currently have on my roster. Get this week's newsletter. I think it's been pretty good at guiding you in the right direction here over the last, 23 years, all right? You can go to GundersonCapital.com, and if you'd like to get your portfolios in the hands of very vigilant managers, Gunderson and his team, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Have a great Labor Day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.